He was sent by a power that is great and wise to minister to a soul too comfortable in himself. Maybe God looked down, called an angel, dressed him like a bum, then said, go minister to that man cleaning the car. That man needs help. Don't we all? I'd like to read two scriptures in light of that story, Luke 18, 9 to 14, and Revelation 3, 14 to 22. We want to think about needing help as individuals and needing help as a church. Luke 18, verse 9 to 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Revelation 3, verses 14 to 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him, he with me, to him that overcometh. Why, grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Part of the message may be a bit harsh, but if you feel that the message is too harsh, take the words in verse 19 where Jesus says to the church at Laodicea, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And I want to speak the truth in love this morning, like we heard in the devotional. But don't we all need help as individuals? In the first scripture that we read in Luke 18, the Bible, Jesus tells us that two men went to pray. This morning, as you came into this church house and sat down in the pews beside someone else, what were your thoughts about that person? There's about 150 people came here this morning to worship. Either we came in the spirit of a Pharisee, or we came in the spirit that the publican came to the house or the place of prayer with. I don't know what your thoughts were as you sat down beside the person next to you on the pew. Maybe you were thankful that you're not like them. Maybe you were thankful that you don't have the problems that they do. Maybe you were thankful that your net worth is more than theirs. What about the people that you met coming here to church, going the opposite way? Somehow that still puzzles me, how in this community we live here and come to church here. Other people live here and come to church over here, and we meet each other. We think we're going to the best church. That's why we go there. Or the better church. Or maybe we were born into this church and we can't help it. But what were your thoughts as you saw other people going to their churches? I'm glad that I don't have to go to church where they do. I'm glad our church doesn't have the problems that theirs does. You see, these two men came to the same place to worship. Two men to one place, but different prayers. Two totally different prayers. Strikingly different attitudes. It says they both came to pray. The one man's prayer was all about comparing himself with on a horizontal level. And I know we need horizontal relationships, and that's not what I'm talking about this morning, but that was where the level of his prayer was. Horizontally, comparing himself with the person beside him, making himself feel good. And that's what we're trying to do when we compare ourselves with other people. We're trying to make ourselves feel good, right? But life is not about feeling good. We can get caught up in the pursuit of trying to feel good, but that's not what life is all about. The other man, the content of his prayer was vertical, up and down to God. He was thinking about how he appears in the eyes of a holy God. And the result of that was simply crying out in mercy because he understood that he needed help. The Pharisee thought that he didn't need help, and really he didn't, and yet he really needed help. And that's a hard place to reach to the Pharisee's heart, the one that thinks he has no need and yet had need of everything. He stood there and he thanked God that he's not an extortioner. He thanked God that he's not unjust or an adulterer. And then he even went so far as to make sure God knows about all the good things that he's doing. And really his life, by appearance, was acceptable, was culturally correct, and what we would want to see. But he was not making connection with God. One of these men left the house of prayer in the same way that he came. The same spiritual condition that he came is how he left. The other one left changed. Did you come here this morning expecting to be different when you go? We always just kind of go to church Sunday mornings, and we are looking forward to Sunday dinner, and we do our church Sunday mornings. That's the right thing to do. But do you ever come to church expecting to be changed? That's really why we should come. Through the singing, through the devotions, through the Sunday school, through the preaching. If we really make connections vertically with God, something will be different with us. And it's an ongoing work. God continues to change us from glory to glory by his Spirit. A few things that Jesus mentioned here. Verse 14, he says, I tell you, this man, the publican, the one that cried out to God for mercy, went down to his house justified rather than the other. I said he was changed when he went. Jesus actually says he was justified. And to me, that's marvelous, that there is a possibility of us experiencing in our worship with God a change that Jesus calls justification. There was something wonderful happening in the publican's life. He went down to his house justified, Jesus said, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There we have a spiritual law that is in effect. Everyone that is proud, that exalts himself, that wants to make himself great, will be abased. But if we humble ourselves before God, the Bible tells us that we will be exalted. Again, the question for us to consider in this parable, in this story that Jesus gave, is how did we come to this place of worship? What was our attitude about the other people around us? And how will we leave this place? The next part I'd like to think about from the scripture in Revelation 3, more about us as a church. This was written to the angel or the messenger of the church at Laodicea. And I wonder what the message to the church at Summit View would be, if there would be a letter that would be written to us in this way. But really, all of these letters, we can take them and apply them to our experience. But what if this would be us, the Church of the Laodiceans? What is our reputation as a church? And it bothers me sometimes, the reputation that we as this community have. When we didn't live here, people used to ask us where we are from, and we used to say Lancaster County, and I could tell in their countenance that something about that wasn't always positive. And so I started telling them that we're from southeastern Pennsylvania, and that worked better. I would just tell them we're from halfway between Philadelphia and Harrisburg, and they were okay with that. But if you tell them you're from Lancaster County, they put you in a box. And sometimes if you tell them you're from Summit View, they put you in a box too. Somehow, I think there's a lot of good things about this church. But somehow, some people have an idea that this church has a little bit of an air of superiority. That's harsh, but that's what I've sensed already from some people. All of us have the privilege of down-living that reputation to somewhere or another. But that bothers me if that's the kind of reputation that we have, that we think that we're superior, maybe better than other churches around us. Kind of have it together, kind of have our act together. There's nothing wrong with having our act together, but when we think that we have it all together and we don't need help, then it's probably when we do need help. Because here the church at Laodicea, they said, we're rich, we're increased with goods. If that was ever true, it's true today. It's true of us. We have need of nothing. And the fact was that they were, in the eyes of Jesus, in the eyes of God, they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, it's one thing to be miserable and poor and blind and without clothes and to realize your need, but it's quite another story when you think you have everything and you don't need anything and you actually have nothing. It's pretty mixed up. But that's the condition of the church of Laodicea. They thought they have everything, they have need of nothing, and yet they had nothing and needed everything. Recently someone asked me how, if we ever have people outside the church joining the church here, and I had to scratch my head a little bit and think, and it's pretty long since anybody actually decided to join this church outside of getting married to someone from here and landing here, you know, kind of automatically, but that somebody actually chose to come here. Hasn't happened much in the last 25 years. And we wonder what was wrong with the Amish and the Mennonites in the 1700s. You know, people can tell the attitude that, can sense the attitude that you have coming, that you're giving off about them, whether it's individually or whether it's as a group. We as a church give off an aroma, and it's either one that welcomes people in or it's one that turns them off. We as individuals do the same thing. Let's make sure that we have the right perspective of ourselves. Church at Laodicea, I am rich, I am increased with goods, I have need of nothing. That was their perspective. God's perspective of the church at Laodicea is quite different. He says to them, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. And he gives them the answer for this condition. He says, repentance. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. If we find ourselves in this condition, like the church at Laodicea, self-righteous, self-sufficient, and yet so needy, Jesus extends the answer to us. He says, buy of me gold tried in the fire. There's a way to riches, true riches, hidden riches, that we only find in Jesus Christ. He says, buy of me. See, true riches are not the riches that we attain with earthly currencies. True riches are what we attain when we live in fellowship with God and with His Word and with the church, brothers and sisters. And for their nakedness, He offers them white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. I had to think of the righteousness, the garment of righteousness that Jesus offers. We put off the old man and we put on the new man. We are clothed with the garments of righteousness. It says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Jesus gives sight to those who are blind. We read that, how he did that literally, and when he walked here on this earth, there was quite a few times Jesus met up with blind men, and one time he asked them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, that we receive our sight. So we find ourselves in blindness, we need simply to cry out to God and to Jesus, give us sight, anoint our eyes with eye salve, and we will be able to see. I had to think of some of the guiding principles of the Word of God just a bit. You know, we have the Great Commandment, we have the New Commandment, and we have the Great Commission. And we may be doing well at one or the other, but we need all three of them. The Great Commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and to love our neighbor the way that we love ourselves. But then Jesus came along in the New Testament and said, I give you a new commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And that's even a higher level of love than just to love our neighbor as ourself. But it's to love each other the way that Jesus loved us. And he said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. And so that's another guiding principle that must be in our life. And then the Great Commission, to go out and to teach all nations. We can't emphasize the one without including the other. All three of them need to be part of our life for us to have true riches, for us to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus, and for us to be able to minister to others in that way. So how do we think about ourselves as a church? How should we think? How do we think about other churches? Those are questions that I want to leave with us today. And what are we going to do about our attitudes that we might have? I'd like to end with Romans 12 yet. I just thought that gives us some solid advice. Also like to just read a quote yet from a friend Matt Miller posted it on his status. It's by Nick Ripken. It says, when one sector of the community sees itself always as the giver, and another sector of the community sees itself always as the receiver, the entire community and the work of Christ is damaged. We need to need the people we serve. That's another thing I want to leave with you this morning. We need to sense that we need each other. You know, we might be the ones that are giving and that are serving. And if we always are doing that and never realizing that we also have needs, it gets lopsided. We need to need the people we serve. Let's go to Romans 12 yet. I'd just like to read this and maybe make some comments as we go. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A new mind is the only way that we can think right about ourselves and about other churches and other people. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The Bible tells us to be careful how we think about ourselves. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, see, we need each other. As we serve each other, we actually need each other. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, remember the gift that you have, the ability that you have, is an ability that, a grace that is given to you. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministering, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The point here is not to figure out what your gift is, but to do your best at what God has called you to do, and to exercise and put that gift to work. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. We all need help. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Again, instruction of how we should think about each other. Mind not high things. Don't get excited about what the world gets excited about. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Just like to close with the question, do you need help? The answer is, don't we all? Let's kneel for prayer.